Happy to have a wonderful show today. We are being broadcast from 4MTV. 4MTV is a North American initiative focused on mental health. We are bringing mindfulness beyond borders. The 4M stand for migration, multi-language and culture, mental health, and mindfulness. I am your host today, Kara Keem, and it's a pleasure to be here with you. I am the author of my book, Discovering My Wings. And in this book, I talk about how my life drastically transformed once I started listening to the voice of my intuition and following its inner guidance and wisdom. I am also a psychotherapist and Reiki master, and I have a private practice working with women, blending energy work and therapy to help them access their intuition and find the most empowered versions of themselves. We are very excited to have a special guest here today, Dr. Michelle Shine. She is a PhD biomedical scientist. She is an educator, a meditation facilitator, and she is the co-author of this incredible book, Mana Gardening. I first met Michelle about 7 years ago. I read her book, absolutely fell in love with it. And when we met, my book was really just 400 pages of stream of consciousness. And so I asked Michelle if she would help me with my book, and she became a very dear friend and an editor in my book. So it's very exciting to have you here today, now that we can both talk about books and careers and everything that we're bringing to consciousness through these avenues. So thank you for being here today, Michelle.
You're so welcome. It's my pleasure to be here, and I am very grateful to be able to share our work together.
Yes.
Wow, it's amazing. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And I really feel as though we are starting to understand that healing has to take place within the mind, the body, and the spirit. We've got to blend all three for whole healing to happen with individuals, especially with trauma. And so you are a perfect example of this. You are a scientist, and you're also deep into spirituality. And in your book, you blend science and spirituality. So can you tell us a little bit more about this path and mana gardening?
Yes, absolutely. So I came across this technique of mana gardening when I was interested in knowing whether or not to go get surgery for varicose veins. And I didn't have an ability to tap into inner wisdom or intuition at that time. And so I just didn't know how to make a choice like that, because I felt that there were natural ways versus surgery, and just, you know, what to do. And you know, do I do pros and cons lists, or do I do benefit risk analysis? Like, how do I make this choice?
Yeah.
And so I was led to mind gardening through a Hawaiian kahuna and Qigong master named Shen Ballesteros, who taught me how to access my inner wisdom through my imagination. And so he taught me this very easy and fun method of accessing basically your own happiness first. It's like you put yourself in your own little heaven and you relax. And the relaxation is the absolute key to your healing of anything that you want to heal and anything that you want to bring forward in your life. The relaxation is the most important part. And so you give yourself this heavenly experience in your mind, or you're in meditation, and then you can start asking questions. And so eventually I got to the place where I could ask the question, is it in my best interest to have surgery for varicose veins? And I had to practice for about a week or two before I had the nerve and the confidence to use the technique for important questions. And once I got the practice part down, I asked that question. I heard absolutely, absolutely have surgery. And I did. And I haven't had any symptoms for 10 years plus now. And that was just the beginning. And then once I started using mind gardening or mana gardening for other things, there were so many benefits that I was receiving on a spiritual level, on a physical level, also in relationships. And I was also going through my own trauma of a divorce at that time. And I really needed my inner wisdom to help me through that process because I had lots of incoming perspectives that weren't necessarily my own. And I needed to know what I needed, what I wanted, what was going to work for our lives going forward. And having that ability to tune in to my own inner wisdom and be confident in that and like know it, trust it, was instrumental in moving forward in my life. And I got so many benefits from using this technique that I ended up going and finding all the primary literature I possibly could to validate the experiences I was receiving.
Yes, yes, yes. And I want to get into that because that is so important. That's where the science comes in.
Right.
I have a full private practice and I have now for years, and there's not a single client that I have not used mana gardening with. I use this with absolutely every single one of my clients. It fits so well with psychotherapy. And as part of transpersonal psychology, I think psychology has been behind a little bit, and we're finally catching up to the body keeps the score and incorporating the spirit through transpersonal psychology. And so this has been invaluable for me as a therapist. And I hope other therapists will learn about this technique as well, because it's so healing. So yes, share with us about the science and how this can really help to heal trauma.
Yeah. So what I discovered in my own process, because I was taking notes, you know, I'm a scientist and I record everything, right? So as I started receiving benefits and things started to shift in my life just from imagining them different in my inner heaven, in my mind garden, I would look up the science on things. And what I discovered was that basically whatever you are imagining is real on the level of inside your body, on a biological level.
Yes, yes. And I have that quote in my book. Every chapter starts with a quote, and that is in there. What you imagine is real. I wrote it down on a biological level. Yes, that's a quote that I've used.
Yeah, and so that's what I discovered just by doing the scientific research behind the benefits I was receiving. And so I looked at lots of studies that showed that that what you imagine is real, because what they would do is they would have a few people running on treadmills, and they would do their VO2. They would measure their oxygen, their heart rate, their pulse rates, all these different parameters. They measure them all, and they'd also put on do brain mapping at the same time. Yeah. And then they would have the same people later on imagine running on a treadmill, and the same physical parameters were up as if they were physically doing the exercise, but they were only doing it in their imagination. They were actually sitting there meditating with their eyes closed, imagining themselves running on a treadmill, and yet their heart rate is up, their breathing rate is up. All these different things were up, and the brain mapping was almost identical. The only part that wasn't was the motor regions. The motor regions were different because when they're actually running, you know, you're moving muscles and that lights up a different part of your brain. But when they were meditating, they weren't actively engaging those muscles. So the motor regions weren't lit up, but the rest of the brain was just lit up exactly the same as if they had been running on a treadmill.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Yeah.
It is. And then there's another part of that, whereas their feeling component is involved. And there was another study where they did people moving their fingers, a pattern of finger movements. And then they'd have them imagine and feel themselves doing it, but it was just also in a meditative state. And what they discovered was in that one, they also did the brain mapping. And what they discovered was when they were actually doing the physical moving of their muscles, there was a different, the brain mapping was different between physically doing it and physically and imagining doing it and feeling it. So when you added the feeling components, you're imagining and feeling the outcome of it. Mm. It increased the brain activation.
Yes.
So what's really important, I think, to take away from that is that there are benefits. There is a neurological reorganization that occurs when we imagine things and we feel. We add the feeling component.
Right. Right. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And so we can really apply that to mana gardening. And later in the show, we're going to do some mana gardening and sort of share how that works. And so that would be interesting to add the feeling component in there too. When I use it with my clients, I get them to get into the five senses.
Absolutely.
And I really say, what can you hear in the background? What can you feel, you know, getting into those senses, that feeling component?
Absolutely. That's integral. And yes. Albert Einstein has a quote, imagination is everything. It is the preview to life's coming attractions.
Yes.
So he knew how important your imagination is. And then the feeling component seems to me to be like the magnetic part that actually brings it to you. So if you're imagining an improvement in a relationship with someone, for example, and you're in your little heavenly zone and you know, maybe bring this person in and have a beautiful communication and engagement with them in this space that's not really possible in real life yet, but you're imagining that as possible, and you can just sit there and just feel how good that feels and allow that to kind of permeate your being. Mm-hmm. And then it creates a memory. I call it a memory in quotes because it's a memory to something that didn't really happen, but yet you can still remember it.
Yeah.
Right? So you're creating a memory to a feeling, to something that has occurred in your imagination. And because it has occurred in your imagination and you can remember it mm-hmm. later on, then that gives you belief. It gives you the belief that you need in order to believe that it's possible to have a good relationship with this person. So then it's like your imagination, the feelings, and the belief all work together to bring that to you in your life. And then you can actually see results in your life. But the number one and most important part is that you've healed it within yourself.
Yes. Yes.
And you can't always count on other people to show up the way that you want them to for healing or whatever. So if you do it within yourself and you allow that for yourself and then you believe it's true, somehow many times it allows them to open up and receive that healing too, or have that healing actually take place.
Yes. And you give a beautiful example of this in your book with the waterfall and your friend.
Yes.
Can you speak to that a little bit? Because that seems to be so much of the essence of what you're discussing.
Yes. That was an absolutely unbelievable experience that happened. I had a friend who, when I was going through a very painful divorce, would come over once a week and give me Reiki and listen to me vent. And eventually she stopped calling me. She stopped returning my texts, she's completely just lost all contact and communication and dropped awareness, wouldn't respond to anything. And that was difficult because I was already going through a divorce situation, and then for her to be gone too was really rough. But what I decided about a year later, I decided I wanted to heal that, and I didn't feel like I could communicate with her because she wasn't responding, you know, and there wasn't a possibility to heal it with her in real life. So I took it to my inner garden and I just imagined us at this beautiful waterfall where we actually used to hike to. I imagined us going to this waterfall one day and standing in front of each other and having an open-hearted, loving communication where she was open with her feelings and her thoughts and why all this occurred. And I had compassion and understanding. And then, you know, what she brought to the table that, you know, that I was, how I was contributing to that, you know, and then that was brought to my awareness. And it was all kind of pretend. It wasn't like I had actual details of what we actually said. It was more of an intention, like, okay, this is what's actually happening here, but it wasn't super detailed, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to imagine every detail is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Yes. The essence of
the essence of it was there. Right. Yeah. So, and I just imagined us healing and coming to a mutual compassion and understanding and just heart-based loving each other and, you know, big hugs and crying and tears and just this beautiful experience of feeling completely resolved and healed in this. And I remember when I was imagining it, I actually had tears. Like I was feeling all of this and it felt so good. It was such a release to have that experience. And then after that, about 2 weeks went by and I saw her after a yoga class, and I hadn't seen her in a while, but I saw her after a yoga class and she says, Michelle, come here. And I went over there to her, but I already had a feeling that this was already healed. Right. So I was just ecstatic. Right. She was inviting me over there to talk to her. Right. And she
called. You had healed it.
I had healed it within myself. Yeah. So yeah. There was like a different energy about me. Like yes. That was cleared. Like that was no longer bothering my psyche, or I could, you know, I sleep better, all these things, because I didn't have that unresolution, the unresolved memory of that. I had a resolved memory of that. Mm-hmm. So it brought me peace. Mm-hmm. But she called me over that day and she said, would you like to go on a hike with me? I said, yes, absolutely. I would like to go on a hike with you. And we went to that exact same waterfall and had that exact same experience in real life.
Yes.
In front of each other, right in front of the Hawaiian ginger flowers. Like, I mean, it was, and the waterfall, it was all right there. And it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. And the fact that it happened within 2 weeks of me imagining and healing mm-hmm. it within myself, it's like my heart somehow spoke to her heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we were able to clear it in real life. So healing it within yourself is absolutely imperative.
Yes, 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 yes. I have full body chills over that story. I always get full body chills because it's so powerful. And so in our work with trauma and painful memories, we can go within, heal this within ourselves, do our own work. And it doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be resolved with the other person, right?
Right.
But it does set that vibration and that frequency for that healing. And oftentimes from that place, you know, it can unfold.
Absolutely. If their heart is willing, it certainly can unfold.
Yes. Yes. That's incredible. I love that story so much. Yeah. And so tell us a little bit more about how we can use this to go back through painful memories and what's happening with, you know, the neurobiology behind it, the neuroscience.
Yes. Actually, if you don't mind, can I quote from my own book?
Of course. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So because we just talked about that experience, that's actually like the perfect example of, yes. of healing a traumatic event. And there's a neuroscientist back in 1948, Jerzy Konorski. He was a neuroscientist and he proposed, I'm going to just quote, read from my own book.
Yes, please.
Okay. So Jerzy Konorski in 1948 proposed that if you do not reinforce something that you have habitually reinforced, such as an old memory, and you add a new response or replacement response, such as a new memory mm-hmm. or a thought, mm-hmm. you may obtain new neural reorganization that actually competes with the old memory by inhibiting it somewhat.
Yeah.
So back in the 40s, they understood or had at least an ability to propose that if you remember something slightly differently, then the old neural pathway starts to dissipate and you actually send more neurons down the new memory. Because what neuroscience is starting to teach us is that the more you remember something, especially in a traumatic event, you're digging a deeper path. It's like yes. the cows that all take the same path and they've got this 2 foot deep pathway through the field, right? Absolutely. And so they're all taking the same path. They just pretend that the cows are the neurons and they just keep taking the same pathway. Every time you remember or get triggered by a traumatic event, you're basically reliving that entire event and those yep. neurons keep going down that same old pathway.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right. So if you offered a new experience and you're like, okay, well, maybe I can have an experience in my own awareness where this is healed, or I can actually see where this person was coming from and you can reduce the charge or have a slightly different experience with it, then what you're going to do is you're going to have one cow that's going to go over here and go a different way to the watering hole. Right. And so what you can do is just remember that. So as you have your healing experience with yourself, you may have to
Oh, it paused here on my screen. I think I'm still live and Dr. Shine is maybe paused. So we'll see if she gets back in. It seems like she's short circuited. Oh, are you there?
Screen yet. Oh, there we are.
Okay. We lost you for just a moment. Yes.
Okay. So anyway, if you remember, if you create a new experience for yourself in your yes. in your heaven, and then you have to re-remember it. So then it's like you're setting a new cow down that new pathway every time you re-remember it. Then eventually what happens is more cows are going to start going down that pathway and less cows are going to start going down the other one. So the other really deep pathway will start to get a little overgrown with grass and such. And this is a very good analogy to what happens in our brain, because the grass will start to grow over the old pathway, and then you'll have the new memory almost in replacement. You won't actually forget the traumatic event, but you will reduce the triggers, the emotional response or the reactions from it, and you will have more peace.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm actually doing a training right now with Janina Fisher, who is sort of a trauma expert in the psychology world. And she says that this is why talk therapy often does not work, because we're just recalling this old memory, this old wound, and then it's reinforcing that pathway. And so, and then the emotions coming and the feelings coming, and it is like we are reliving the experience. And so she will often sort of interrupt the client when they start going down the pathway to, you know, because it's just reinforcing the old memory. And so what you're speaking to is what is so helpful in the world of psychology is we can create new memories and healing memories. And right. it's not with the person healing it within ourselves. So that pathway, it does take the charge out, because the charge is coming from the pain of memory, right?
And so the unresolved pain, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can resolve the pain in your inner garden by forgiving or however that needs to be for you, then you'd reduce the charge.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And that's why I just love this work. And when I read your book, I went, this is perfect for my field and what I'm doing. And you're doing this work as well, right? With clients, and you have absolutely. A practice doing this work. Yeah.
Well, I see clients every week, and usually we are always accessing deeper unresolved pain.
Right.
And we go through it and we can heal it pretty quickly.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's amazing what happens in the healing that takes place when we can send the cow down the alternate path. I love that. I haven't heard that before from you. So it's like, I'm going to remember that, you know. And the cow is going down the wrong path. We've got to move it this way.
A new cow's down a new path. Yeah.
The cow's down a new path. Yes, absolutely. Yes. And I love that. I mean, that they were picking up on this in back in the 40s. That's really, really amazing. And I feel like the world of psychology is just starting to catch up, you know?
Right.
Because for so long, it's really been about just talking about the painful memories. And little did we know that as we're doing that, all we're doing is reinforcing the painful memories. And so we've got to really rewire, you know, those neural pathways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of weed it and replant it.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And so how did you get on the path of spirituality as a scientist? Because I mean, traditionally those things are kind of separate, and you're either in one camp or the other camp. So I'm curious about your journey to blending both. I just love that. It's very whole person approach.
Thank you. It's because of what Shen said, I think, when he introduced the concept of the inner garden to me, he quoted scripture. I mean, he said, seek ye the kingdom of God. What does that mean to you, Michelle? And I said, that means heaven. And he said, well, what is heaven? And I hadn't really given it any thought at that time. I just said, it's the white clouds with the guy in the throne on top of the clouds.
Very traditional. Yeah.
Traditional heaven. I was like, I guess that's heaven. That's what everyone says heaven is, you know?
No,
heaven is within you. You get to choose heaven. The kingdom of God is within you. It's all you. You are the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. It is within you, and you get to choose your own version of heaven. Whatever makes you happy and fulfilled and peaceful and joyous, that is your heaven. And you follow that. And he's like, and then if you use your imagination to go into your heaven, that's the starting space for everything.
Right.
So once you put yourself in heaven,
yes,
God automatically comes there with you.
Right.
It's
just right.
An automatic thing. It just is. That's just what happens. Is you are absolutely joined by the Great Spirit or your soul or whatever you want to call that yes. infinite energy, that infinite creative energy is there with you. And that infinite creator energy is always there, but we don't tap in usually. And so once we finally tap in, it is excited to work with us. It is pleased. It is just doing dances, angels doing dances up there. They're so excited that we're tuning in yeah. and that we can then access this heaven within ourselves.
Right.
So
right.
It's like we get to heal ourselves and go to heaven. And there's just the benefits just multiply and expand the more you use
yes,
this.
Yes, absolutely. And that, you know, traditional man in a white cloud on a throne is very Christian based, which
right.
we both grew up with, you know,
right.
and the term of heaven. And so I love the idea. I mean, we can use this with people across all cultures. I love
right.
this idea that we get to create what it is. And, you know, if someone's not Christian, I call it your sacred garden and your
yeah.
sacred space within. And, you know, it can really be used and adapted for anybody, really, no matter what
Absolutely.
We believe. And I just love this idea of it's already within us. Like we are. What is it? A spirit having a human experience. Some people think it's a human having a spiritual experience, but
right.
it's a spirit having a human experience.
Absolutely.
It's already here. And all we have to do is access it and tap into it and really bring it to life within ourselves. And you're right. I mean, there's so many benefits to that. And I get super creative in my garden. I mean,
oh, me
I've got dolphins in there and
me too.
a little beach and waterfalls and like funky pink furniture on the side and a labyrinth rose gardens. I mean, mine is really elaborate. And every time I go, it just more things pop up and it gets more interesting. So I feel like it's evolving too.
Oh, totally. And what you can, I've had clients in one session, they'll go into the garden twice. Like we'll go in the first time and they'll share with me, you know, what they experienced. And then we'll go in the second time and it's totally different. And,
yeah.
And but they said they didn't do it. They said they didn't contribute to that. Like it just did it by itself. And
yeah.
I call that organic gardening.
Yes.
But that's spirit working with you and things shift. I've had clients who we started asking questions if they were going to stay at a festival or not, you know, and the person seemed changed to all tents. And mm-hmm. then they knew they were supposed to stay, you know, like it's just fascinating how spirit works with you on this inner,
yes.
in this inner realm.
Yes.
It's just delightful.
It is. It is. And I want to share about a really cool experience we had with the audience because Michelle and I had become good friends and I asked her to edit my book. And we were like, oh, should we do this business project together or just keep it friendship? And we decided that night to do some mana gardening individually at our own homes and to go back in and just ask this question, is this aligned? Are we supposed to work together? Do you remember this?
Yes, absolutely.
And so we would do that individually and then we'd come back together the next day and talk about it. And that was profound. I mean, that's when I was really, really ecstatic about your book because we both did this individually. We came back and we had seen pretty much the same scene.
Yeah.
The same thing. I mean, we're both wearing all white and we are in the same location. And we even each talked about the clouds and the
yeah.
message was the same. And it was just incredible how we were in two different locations communicating with each other through mana gardening and saw the same thing, heard the same messages. We're wearing the same clothes.
I
mean, it was a profound experience. And I was like, okay, there's something here.
Yes.
You know? And so then of course we worked on my book together, you know, and it's so amazing how you can, if you want to go to these deeper levels, you can communicate in your garden, you know, in your heaven with people and see if it's aligned or not.
Absolutely. There's, like I said, it's just the benefits keep expanding. The more you play in
yeah.
this space, the more you find that you can do there.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yes, I love it. I love it. And so we are going to do some mana gardening. Is there anything else you want to share about the book before we get into monogardening or before we try it on?
I mean, I think the only message that I keep kind of feeling like I'd like to share is that we are infinitely powerful and we just don't know it really, you know, and our imagination, in my opinion, is one of the most important and exciting, the most important thing, the most, let's see, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not important. That's not the word. It is the most powerful force that we have access to. That's what I want to say. It is the most powerful force. Your imagination is so powerful that it allows you to create whatever you want, really. I mean, it's all within you, and you can use your imagination to manifest whatever you want in your life. You know, beautiful relationships and, you know, all the things also, as well as the happiness and the peace. You can create it all within yourself. As soon as you start to imagine yourself in a peaceful space, your biology has already shifted from a stress composition to a peaceful composition in terms of your molecules that are expressed. Like, everything is real on a biological level that you imagine, and you are that powerful. You are an absolute powerful, magnificent creator, you know? Yes. And once we believe that, I think that we'll just become more intentional.
Yes. And we are capable of profound healing. I mean, that's what I think is so important, is that our trauma does not have to define us. We do not have to be a victim to it. We can experience it and we can transform it.
Absolutely.
And we are that powerful. We literally can rewire our own brains.
Absolutely. We are that powerful.
We are that powerful. And I really want that emphasized in mental health. We can rewire our own brains. Like, a diagnosis is not permanent. It's not for life. Like, we absolutely have the ability to transform these trauma circuits and to work with new pathways.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love that. And I love that you've done the research, you know, on that. I mean, you have gone and found research that claims that. So it's not just like, oh, wouldn't that be lovely?
Right.
No, as a scientist, you've actually looked into all of the research on this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. I love it. Yes. Okay. Ooh. And so, do we want to do a little monogardening with our audience and teach them some of this technique? And then we can just, you and I can even just share about our experience right now afterwards.
Sounds lovely. I have a little guided meditation prepared if you'd like to
Great.
Do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
All right. Well then, everyone, let's just get comfortable in our seat. And let's begin by taking some deep inhales and deep exhales. And feel free to close your eyes and allow your breath to flow in and out. You can choose if you inhale through your nose or your mouth. You're slowing down your breath, becoming more present. Following the inhale, and then following your entire exhale all the way out. Inhaling again, deeply, slowly settling your mind and your body. And do a nice long exhale, letting everything go but this moment, everything but this present space of peace. And then just allow your breath to become normalized. And on your next inhale, let's imagine love entering our heart, as if love is coming from all over the universe, entering right into your heart on your inhale. Feel it entering your body. Maybe hold your breath for a moment and see if you can feel it circulating. And then just exhale whenever you're ready. We'll do two more of those, breathing love into our hearts. Inhaling. And hold. Feel it. Feel that love in your body. Maybe even expanding out beyond your body. Then exhale whenever you're ready. And one more breath of love into your heart. And hold and feel. And just exhale whenever you're ready. With your eyes still closed, allow your breath to become normalized and imagine yourself in a very peaceful, serene scene. Maybe you could just imagine yourself next to a stream or a waterfall or at the beach. Or on a nice cozy couch in your living room with no distractions. Just imagine yourself in a peaceful scene. Maybe the sun shining on your head. And everything is done. There's nothing for you to take care of in this space. All your needs are met. Just you and your breath and nature. Or maybe it's just you're in a bubble of pink energy. Whatever you choose, just allow yourself to feel at peace in this serene scene for just a moment. Now be quiet while you can just allow yourself to feel and be here for just a moment. Allow your shoulders to sink down, your body weight to sink into your seat or whatever's supporting you. Just relax. And as you allow this relaxation, what is happening is your body chemistry has already shifted. By the time you feel peaceful, you've already shifted your internal biology. Your molecular expression has shifted from potentially a stressful composition to a very peaceful and healing composition. And so from here, from this peaceful place, I'd like you to pose the question to yourself, what have you been blessed by this year? Maybe you've been blessed with the joy of children in your life, smiles and laughter, supportive family and friends. Maybe you've been blessed with ease through a challenge. Or maybe a new perspective was offered at some point that really shifted your ability to be happy with the situation. Maybe you were blessed with food on the table every single day this year. A warm home, a place to sleep that's comfortable. Maybe you've been blessed with the ability to help others. Just feel some of your blessings. This has been a very challenging year for many, many people. And as we acknowledge our blessings, Spirit works with you to give you more blessings. So just take a moment to acknowledge some of the blessings that you've received this year. The angels in human form who have supported you. Feel that gratitude in your heart, in your body. And allow it to expand. From this place, let's also consider what still might need healing in the coming year. What relationships in your life could use an upgrade? Are there old traumas from the past that keep getting triggered that you'd like to have resolved? Is there a part of your body that needs healing this year that you'd like to reconcile and heal? With all that love in our heart and that gratitude, just acknowledge these places within us that still could use some healing this year. Just pick one. What we're going to do with that one thing is we're going to imagine it resolved and healed within us. So if it's a physical thing or a relationship with a person or maybe an old trauma, go into your imagination and just, even if you can't really see it healed, maybe you can feel it healed, and go to a place of maybe in the future where this is completely resolved and no longer affecting you in a negative way. It can actually be a pleasurable memory for you, something that you have now transcended. Maybe your body is now functioning at prime performance and capabilities, and you feel completely blessed when you wake up every morning without pain. Just see that as a possible reality for yourself. And with this relationship that needs an upgrade, see it already upgraded. Feel it as if happened and there's peace between you and clear communication and compassion and understanding. Or if it's a trauma that you've experienced, imagine that it's resolved. And then you haven't forgotten it, but it doesn't hold power over you anymore, and that you have empowered yourself to face the challenges and create a new experience for yourself. Just see it resolved, feel like it is done. One aspect of your life that you'd like to heal is completely healed already. It's done. And now let's feel the gratitude for that. Let's feel ourselves blessed by the healing that we have just imagined ourselves having. So feel the gratitude, feel the blessing of this miracle that has happened. Let's now take a deep breath. Let's anchor that feeling of gratitude and that blessing that we've just received and given to ourselves. With your breath, you're going to anchor it into every cell of your entire body. Sending that memory of healing to every cell, every neuron, every tissue, your bone and your blood. And take notice of how you feel now. Perhaps you feel more peaceful and relaxed. Maybe you feel energetically expanded. Just take notice. Maybe say a little prayer of thanks. This is a very tiny introduction into mind gardening or mana gardening, and the space is infinite. And heaven is within you, and you can access this heavenly space anytime you want. And just know that and feel that. You are powerful beyond measure. With that, go ahead and start to bring yourself back to this space, maybe wiggling your fingers and toes, moving your shoulders, or moving your head around. Just start to bring your physical body back to this space. And whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Hi. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Michelle. It's nice to have that pause, that respite in the day, and just return to ourselves. We have trees being cut down in my parents' yard and leaf blowers and all this stuff, and I was able to tune it out and to just be present and be here. So hopefully that wasn't distracting for the audience. I was like, oh my, I'm... Got to tune all that out as we're here. And that was just a brief introduction.
Right.
And I love it. And so I'd love for people who especially are in mental health or anybody really to check out the rest of your book, which is Mana Gardening. And if you're local in Asheville, where Michelle is, it's at Malaprops, right? Is it there?
Yeah.
It's at Malaprops and also on Amazon, and you can learn more. And then I think you have some mana gardening exercises on your website.
I do. I have lots of guided meditations.
Okay.
And they go deeper into the imagination of the initial heaven,
yes.
Which we didn't get to go that deep today because usually that's a good 15 minutes.
Right.
So, there's lots of free resources on the website.
Yes. Great. And so that's www.managardening.com.
Yes. And then we also have mindgardening.com as well.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah.
And the YouTube channel has lots of guided stuff too.
I love it. So please check out Michelle's book. And thank you for teaching us this wonderful technique. And now you know how to get in touch with Michelle. And it's just been such a pleasure to be here today. I feel like I could talk for hours, honestly. I mean, there's just so much that we could get into.
Totally.
You know, and as we were meditating, I was like, oh, there's so many things I want to dive into, so many neat facets of this technique and how wide it can go. You know, it can just incorporate so much. And I love your final important message is just that we are so, so powerful. And that actually reminded me of a quote from Peter Levine. I wish I had it in front of me, but he says that human beings are born with the innate ability to triumph over trauma. And not only can we triumph over it, but it can be a profound portal for spiritual awakening. And
absolutely.
I deeply believe that. I deeply, deeply believe that. And I know you do too. Like, we can triumph, and it is a portal for spiritual awakening if we choose it.
Absolutely. Agree with you 100%.
Yeah. So that quote came to mind when you were talking about that. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us all. And this is being, you know, it will be on YouTube and Facebook. And so we'll tune back in if you want to watch it again and you weren't in a place to do some of the meditation activity.
Thank you, Kara.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
What do we do?
We are supposed.
Oh, you forgot.
We're supposed to text him.
We'll text him now.
All right. Oh, we're done.
Okay.
This is hilarious. I was like, okay, yeah, I totally spaced on the texting part.
We forgot to text you.
We are done.
I intend. Right.
Well, if anyone's stuck with us, we haven't ended the broadcast. We had to text the producer to end the broadcast. So this is just silly time now. We're just in silly time. So he'll hopefully come on soon. Could you hear all the leaf blowing and all of that?
I can hear something, but I wasn't sure what it was. But there was a hum.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard the hum.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
I don't know if that was different. That might not have been the leaf blowing.
I heard that. And then I also heard the trees crashing and all the other stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, we're all right. I mean, I guess we could just leave the studio, but I'd like for him to end it and then we can just pop back on.
Yeah, he'll probably edit out the ending part.
I know. Yeah.
This part.
Okay. We just hop off. Oh, there's so many things I wanted to